glad to be home, isn't it?
It is nice to be home.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Barah Ministry. It's a Christian church. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. As God prepares you, your soul, to receive the Word of God, let's turn from the cares of life to the Lord's living refreshment by worshiping Him in song. The opening song is Shout to the Lord.
Oh, my.
Thank you, June. Welcome back. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to reflect on all you have done for us and to us this year, and help us to rejoice and be glad in it. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, the realizations of this year of our Lord 2013. So the question for you, how was your year? Yeah, I want you to go deeper than that. I mean, think about this year. Think about last year at this time and this year at this time and a whole bunch of things happened between. What was it? I think it's worth it for you to sit down just for a few moments and just reflect on what happened to you this year. Because you're not the same person that you were last week, much less the same person you were last December. So what has happened to you in the last year? What are the things that God has done to you and for you in the last year? It's something worth considering. How was your year? Other than our Christmas celebration next week, this is the last lesson of the year here at Barah Ministries. Deacon Denny has a lesson that he'll be posting on December 29th, but this is the last time that you'll hear from me about anything other than Christmas. Because next week we do our Christmas celebration, and by the way, in our Christmas celebration, that's a great time when everyone turns their eyes to Christmas. That's a great time for you to be bringing people to Barah Ministries to hear the Word, and to hear about Christmas, and to hear about Christ, which is what Christmas is all about. So I encourage you to do that, to each one of you bring somebody who'd like to hear the message of Christ. But other than our Christmas celebration next week, this is the last lesson of the year. And since this lesson is on the same day as the Lord's Supper celebration, it might be a good idea for us to take a brief look back at our year, since we look back on our Lord's Supper celebration days anyway. On those days, we look back at the cross. So this is a great time for us to look back on the year at Barah Ministries. And during the song, I was thinking, Barah Ministries is cool. I wasn't thinking it exactly like that, but it's probably close that I was thinking about it. So my question is, how was your year? This has probably been the best year of my life, mostly because when I wake up every morning, I am happy. I'm happy in the knowledge that I am a bondservant of the Savior of the universe, the Sovereign of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am His property. He created me. He has a plan for me. He loves me unconditionally. He cares for me. And He considers my problems to be His responsibility. And I'm grateful to be in 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week service to Him. And this year I realized that this service never takes on the form that we fantasize about in our minds. You know, we're always thinking, I wish I could just be perfect for Him somehow. Or I wish I wasn't so defective somehow. And we have this picture in our mind of what we'll be doing, what we'll be thinking, what we'll be feeling when we're doing exactly what He wants us to do. And it is indeed a fantasy because right now, right this moment, you're doing exactly what it is that He wants you to do. You're being yourself. Whatever that happens to be, you're being yourself with all your foibles and all your mistakes and all your funny and all your fun and your work and all the things that are just naturally part of you. All those things are things that He loves about you. And there isn't anything that He hates about you at all. He loves you unconditionally. And that is a fantastic thing to contemplate in our souls. Often we think that one day our occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be a time when we are giving the outward appearance of this occupation. And perhaps the fantasy tells us that on that day, we're going to be toting the Bible around full time. And every time we have a thought about anything, we're looking into the Bible to find out what the Lord thinks about it before we act. Yet I don't think that's the way it really is going to be when we are occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps we think that when that time comes, when the Lord is at the center of our thinking all the time, that praise Jesus will be floating from our lips all the time. Perhaps we think that at that time we'll be walking old ladies across the street and seeking actively to do so. Perhaps we think that we will be evangelizing to thousands of people and passing out copies of "And You Will Be Saved." Instead, though, occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ takes on a quite different form than our fantasy. You're on vacation, and a person calls you and asks you to talk to a friend who needs comforting. And you do it. And even though you're on vacation, there's nothing else that you would rather do. That's what it's like for real when you're occupied with Christ. You drop everything. You turn your attention to a person in need, because that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did at that moment when each one of us called out to him for salvation. In our totally depraved state, when we called out to him for that so great salvation, he was there. And although he is managing 7 billion people, he dropped everything to hear our call. And that's what it's like. A very real, very everyday thing where anytime you get the opportunity, you just please to reach out your hand, to reach out a hug, to reach out a kind word to someone who's in need. Your occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ takes on the form of being happy that you were able to help. And even more happy that that person who requested the help saw something in you that gave them the confidence that you might help in a time of trouble. These are the things that make me happy. And this year was filled with such happiness. For me, how was your year? I learned to take comfort this year in the fact that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will be my only love, my only focus, and my only concern. And I look forward to the day when only thoughts of him occupy my day. Yet I don't expect that time to be only my time in eternity. I even look forward with eager anticipation to the time when here on earth, that is my reality. The Lord is perfecting me that way, and he is perfecting you that way, believers in Christ. And I know you join me in looking forward to that lifestyle. I remind you of God's grace and peace, and I invite you to recognize the beauty of being in the sphere of that grace and that peace. And that wish is that for all of you who consider Barah Ministries a place to come for refreshment, and I think that's what Barah Ministries is, a place to come for refreshment, both to those who call Phoenix, Arizona home, and to those who live and who live here and are here in person hearing this message today, and to those of our brethren who are scattered throughout the whole world, those whom we call our soon-to-be resident congregation, because we long for the day when they will come to their senses, come out of the cold and live here with us, so that we can enjoy fellowship with them on a regular basis. I thank my God in all my remembrances of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you, in gratitude for your participation with me in the dissemination of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have you in my heart, and I enjoy it that you are all partakers of God's grace and peace with me. And what does that mean, that we partake in God's grace and peace? When we partake in God's peace, it means we recognize that he has nothing against us. When we live in the sphere of his grace, we know that we are surrounded by his instruction, and that even though we struggle with things from day to day and we don't know which way is up and which way is sideways and what's going to happen next, we know that He has us in His so great care. We know that He'll never let us be hurled headlong. We know that we stand in His hands and that His hands envelop us. We know that He has a hedge around us to protect us. And we enjoy that. And we love that. And we can wake up happy knowing that. And experiencing that in the depth of my soul this year is what created that happiness, a contentment that surpasses all comprehension, and it is there all the time. There's a feeling of peace, a feeling that everything is right with the world, no matter what's going on at the time. That's how great our God is. How was your year? As I reflect on the year of our Lord 2013, a year that was one of God's many gifts to all of us, several words come to mind. Fortitude. Foundation, forgiven, freedom, faith, fruit, and fellowship. As we reflect on this year, years from now, this is the year that Barah Ministries decided to grow up. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. This is the year that Barah Ministries decided to grow up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, the word is fortitude. That first word that I thought about as I reflected on 2013 is fortitude. Our brother, the Apostle Paul, praises the believers in Thessalonica this way: "For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth." So we have no need to say anything. Isn't that a great thing that a pastor would feel that way about a congregation? And a new congregation, a new set of believers too. And isn't that great that he would feel that way about his congregation? That there was no need for him to say anything because they had full control over sounding forth the word of the Lord all over the region. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, "For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you," that is, how impressed they were that Paul came, "and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God." That's what we have. We have a living and true God. And Barah Ministries grew up this year by casting off the idols of our past, teachers who are doing what the Lord despised and castigated in Matthew chapter 15, verses 6 to 9. Men who invalidated the word of God for the sake of tradition. The Lord said this to them, and so be clear that I'm not the only one who has negative feelings toward teachers who are not teaching the truth of the word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself had negative feeling toward those teachers and, in fact, castigated them. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 to 9, he said, "You hypocrites." And I don't know if you know anything about how strong that word is in the Greek, but it is the most powerful expression that you can give in contempt for another person. "You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." Clearly, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying it is not okay with him that a teacher would teach the precepts of men. Clearly, he is saying that it is not okay for us to take in the precepts of men and adopt it as if it is His Word. And so at Barah Ministries, we decided that this would not be a description of this ministry. And it was a pleasure for me to summon the fortitude to stand with you and to say that we have had enough of the precepts of men. The remnants of this perversion are still very much a part of your souls. And why? Because we are reluctant to let go of the past, even when we find out that it is destructive. But I apologize for my part in promoting this nonsense for so many years. It took fortitude to stand up to the human deities that exist in your soul and to take the rebellion and rejection that you felt in your souls as I did that. How was your year? Another word that comes to mind as I reflect on the year is foundation. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Another word that comes to mind when I think about this year is foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 1. Here's what it says. It says, "And I, Paul, brethren, believers in Christ, could not speak to you as I would speak to spiritual men." So this is Paul talking to a group of believers in Christ at Corinth. And he says, "I can't talk to you as if I were talking to a group of spiritual men." And spiritual men are mature believers in Christ. "I must speak to you as if I'm talking to men of flesh." As we talked about the last time we got together, that is not a description of believers in Christ. We are not of the flesh. We are not in the flesh. What are we in? The Spirit, and also in Christ, right? So he's talking to believers, but he's telling them that I must speak to you as if I'm talking to unbelievers. Why? Because they were not mature. They were believers in Christ, but they were new believers in Christ, and they were still totally influenced by the world. Because the moment you believe in Christ, you're saved, and the Lord does 40 things for you, 500 things for you, right? But you're still young. When you go to first year of college, you are a freshman. By the end of your first year of college, even though you haven't made it to the second year, you're a sophomore. Because you've matured, you've gotten a year under your belt, and you're about to make the transition into the beginning of the next year. So that's what he's talking about here. "I, brethren, cannot speak to you as I would speak to spiritual men. But I have to speak to you as if I'm talking to men of flesh, unbelievers, those totally influenced by the world. I have to speak to you as if I am talking to infants in Christ." Why? Because I am talking to infants in Christ. That's what he's saying in verse 1. In verse 2, "Because you are infants in Christ, new believers, I gave you milk to drink," an analogy, not solid food. Because infants don't have teeth, you give them milk. And just as we are new believers, you give new believers the milk of the word, not the steak of the word, because they're not able to receive solid food. And he continues, "Indeed, even now you're not yet able to receive solid food, even though you have been taught." Why? Because you are still fleshly. What does that mean, fleshly? It doesn't mean that a believer is in the flesh. It means that a believer has the ability to think like people who are in the flesh. It means that believers in Christ can do the deeds of the flesh. And here he continues on and says what that means. "Since there is jealousy and strife among you," mental attitude sins, "are you not fleshly? In other words, are you not, he's not saying, aren't you in the flesh? No, he's saying, aren't you doing the deeds of the flesh? Yes, sins, personal sins, thinking like men of flesh, and are you not walking like mere men? What is he saying there? Are you not living a lifestyle similar to the lifestyle of unbelievers, which is completely influenced by the world? 1 Corinthians, then Paul gives these examples, starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. He says, when one of you says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, aren't you thinking like mere men? Aren't you thinking like unbelievers think? Why? Because unbelievers focus on human beings and not on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of Christians who do the same thing. They focus on human beings who are teaching the precepts of men. And they adopt those precepts of men because those precepts of men feel right to them, because they can use the precepts of men to beat themselves up and to make themselves feel lousy, and to think that that's coming from God's attitude toward them. But it is not. And we learned this year that God loves us unconditionally. And we have to keep asking ourselves, what is it about that we don't understand? God loves us unconditionally. That means he will never love you more than he does now. And it means he will never love you less than he does now. And it means there is nothing you can do to increase or decrease his unconditional love for you. And so it means that you need to get off your own back. 1 Corinthians 3, 5. What then is Apollos? In other words, who in the hell is Apollos? And what then is Paul? In other words, who in the hell is Paul? They are merely servants through whom you believed. Big key there. Through whom you believed. Why? Because they bothered to tell you the gospel message. Even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one to evangelize to you. Why did you learn about God through them? Because the Lord gave them the opportunity. The Lord gave them the divine appointment to talk to you. That's why. Paul is saying that a focus on men is the opposite of a focus on Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, 6. I, Paul, planted the seeds of the gospel message. Apollos watered the seeds in you. And that's what happens a lot of times. We talk to people about Christ and we are planting the seeds, and then somebody else comes along and waters the seeds, and the person who is close to you and special in your life says, oh, that person that came along, they taught me all about Christ when you had already put the seeds in. Well, you know, the truth is, who cares how they get the gospel message? Who cares who's seeding it? Who cares who's watering it? And who cares why they believe? It's just important that they do. And so I, Paul, planted the seeds of the gospel message. Apollos watered the seeds in you, but it was God who was causing the growth to occur. God does the work of salvation all the time. God does the work on the unbelievers in your life. God is the one who will cause the growth in them, and he will always send the exact resources that are necessary to get to that person. And he doesn't just send those resources once. He sends them over and over and over and over again. So we learn never to give up on the people in our periphery when they need us. 1 Corinthians 3, 7. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth is everything. We're nothing because we do what we do in the dissemination of the gospel. We do that because we love our Lord. We owe him. But he's the one who causes the growth. And so we don't feel pressure when we evangelize. 1 Corinthians 3, 8. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and that is as members of the body of Christ. But each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Yes, we are a collective. Yes, we are a body of Christ, and there are things that we have to do as a body of Christ. But there is also you as an individual. You as individuals have ministries. And those ministries will be rewarded according to the labor that you put in those ministries. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we believers in Christ are all God's fellow workers. You are all God's field. You are all God's building. According to the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which was given to me, Like a wise master builder, I, Paul, laid a foundation on top of the divine foundation, and another, the Lord Jesus Christ, is building on it by causing the growth. That's your life. When you become a believer in Christ, there is a foundation that you get. It's called the rock. When you're an unbeliever, what was it called? The sand. And yeah, it's self. He who builds his foundation on the rock, who's the rock? Christ. And what's the sand? Say again? The world. It's Satan's world system, right? And we're all born into that. We're all born on the sand. Maybe that's why women so much on those dating sites say, I want a man who will walk with me on the beach. Maybe it's just a return to the sand. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Tom, help a brother out. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. So according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation on top of the divine foundation, which is Christ. And another, the Lord Jesus Christ, is building on that foundation by causing the growth. But each man must be careful how he builds on the divine foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So that second word that I've been thinking about, one was fortitude, but another is foundation. And there is the verse, no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is already laid in the past, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So this year, laid to rest once and for all time, two very important things in my soul. The foundation of my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't just know it now. I live it. I don't just know him. I live him and I love him. And this Christ is a person. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the universe. And he loves me unconditionally. And he gave himself up as a substitute for me. And he did the exact same thing for you. Take a 5-minute break.
I will try to
could never explain and never describe it.
Welcome back. How was your year? Another word that comes to mind as I reflect on the year is forgiven. Forgiven. Fortitude. What was the second word?
Foundation.
Foundation. Good. And next, forgiven. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, "And according to the law, the Mosaic law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Let me repeat that. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Maybe you didn't hear that. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So I realized this year that my sins were forgiven once and for all time at the cross, where the blood was shed. My sins are no longer my concern. Once they were cared for at the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself up as a substitute for me, a past event with the results that carry on forever, I am at peace. God never changes. And when he takes care of something, it is cared for forever. He is not partial in the way he handles things. So I realized this year that the teaching, which told me that I have to confess my sins to be forgiven, either to a priest or to elders, as in the LDS church, or to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is heresy. It is a vile attack on the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is a despicable attack on his word. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 confirm that we are forgiven in the past by our God, and thus forgiven for all time. Here's what it says. My little children, believers in Christ, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. In other words, don't sin, believers. And if anyone sins, and we believers do after salvation, we have an advocate, a paraclete, someone who comes powerfully to our assistance and who stands in for us. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, there are a lot of cool things about that. One of the cool things about that is he's the one who shed the blood. Now, if you want somebody to talk to God the Father about your sins, the last person you want to do it is you. You want the person to do it who shed the blood. Because without blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation, the only perfectly satisfactory payment, the only one whose payment God the Father would recognize. God the Father will not recognize anything you do in the matter of your sins to get them forgiven. He only recognizes what Christ did. That's what propitiation means. He himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the propitiation, the only perfectly satisfactory payment for our sins. Why? Because he shed blood. And not for ours only as believers in Christ, but also the same exact thing for the sins of the whole world, unbelievers as well. So sin has been cared for at the cross once and for all time, and it is no longer an issue in anybody's life. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 confirm that we are forgiven. God the Father rescued us, believers in Christ, from the domain of darkness, our condemnation at physical birth, the sand. And he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in union with whom we believers in Christ have redemption, which is what? The forgiveness of sins. Forgiven in the past, but the result that they stand finished forever. I am forgiven. And this knowledge gave me the peace to live my life as unto the Lord. My sins are no longer my concern. They are God's concern because God considers my problems to be his responsibility. And I am not stupid enough to think that that means that I should make sinning my lifestyle. Instead, I choose to realize deep in my soul how much I am loved unconditionally. And I choose to respond to that love with obedience to the Word of God. I do not choose to respond to that love with more sins. I choose to respond to that love with obedience to the Word of God. How was your year? For me, this was a year of freedom. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, it was for freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ set us free. Therefore, keep on standing fast in the freedom. Keep on standing fast in the sphere of freedom. Keep on being completely surrounded by freedom. And do not be subject again ever to the yoke of slavery. Not never again subject to the yoke of slavery. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, you believers in Christ have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons. You are the adult children of the Savior of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are adult sons of the living God. The freedom is a freedom from the perversion which is promoted by false teachers. Men who are too puffed up with their own self-importance to submit themselves to the true God and to the truth of his mind. And nothing good happens for a Christian until the Christian is willing to take off self-righteousness. Until the Christian is willing to stop thinking that they are somehow righteous on their own. We are not righteous on our own. We can't do righteous things on our own. We are righteous because a loving God who loved us unconditionally was willing to impute his own righteousness to us so that when he looked at us, he saw perfection in righteousness because it was something that he gave us. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. We'll take a look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. Because they ask you to reflect. The greatest letter on freedom ever written, the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. Here's what it says. I, Paul, am amazed that you believers in the Galatian region are so quickly deserting him, God the Father, who called you to the privilege of salvation by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are deserting him for a different gospel message. Verse 7, which is really not another valid gospel. There's only one valid gospel. Only there are some teachers who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, meaning Paul, and even if an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, faith alone in Christ alone for salvation, he is to be accursed. That's what the Lord thinks of false teachers. They are to be accursed. Galatians 1:9. And we have said before, so I, Paul, say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received from God, and many are, he is to be accursed. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For am I, Paul, now seeking the favor of men or the favor of God? Or am I striving to please men? If we're still striving to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Instead, he would be a bondservant of men. Galatians 1:11, for I would have you know, brethren, believers in Christ, that the gospel which was preached to me, which was preached by me, is not a gospel that comes from men. It is not according to men. Rather, for I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. So I am free from the lies of false teachers. My foundation is Christ. I am forgiven once and for all time. I am free to live my life as unto the Lord, and I have the courage to stand up and say it again and again and again. The men who teach that way are false teachers, and they are teaching heresy. How was your year? As for me, I am clear in whom to invest the gift of faith that has been given to me by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says this, but now faith, hope, and love abide in the sphere of these three, but the greatest of these is unconditional love. And this year, I learned the power of unconditional love. As I open my eyes to how he has directed his unconditional love toward me, I have found it easier to direct unconditional love toward others. I no longer wonder why people are choosing the paths that they choose. I realize that each one of us has a unique journey and that none of us have the right to tell anyone what that journey ought to be. What lands that journey should travel through, or how long the stops should be in each land, how fast the pace should be, and when someone ought to come to the realizations of Christ. For those of you who have breathed a sigh of relief, I must tell you that that does not mean that you shouldn't listen to guidance from people. So when you hear that and you breathe a sigh of relief, it does not mean that you don't have to listen to the guidance of people, because God sends people to you to send guidance to you. Some of you are on courses that are not the best that you can do. Some of you are on courses in your lives that are not the best that you can do. Yet if you are a child of God, He has you firmly in His grip, right where He wants you, and He will get you where He wants you to go. This faith in Christ gives me hope. It gives me an ease when passing on unconditional love to others. And I thank the Lord for loving me the way that He does, unconditionally. Do you? How was your year? For me, it was a year of fortitude, a year where I had to have the courage to stand up and call a spade a spade, living in freedom, knowing that I am forgiven, resting comfortably on my foundation, Christ, firm in my faith. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll close with this. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and as a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on His back, because God considers your problems to be His responsibility. He cares for you. Now a warning, be sober, be on the alert, because your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And now the focus, verses 9 and 10. But resist Satan and stand firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory and union with Christ, will Himself personally perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish each one of you. How was your year? You see, that's not a throwaway question, is it? It's a question that demands that you sit and answer it. It's a question that demands that you take a look at all the fantastic things that God has done for you this year. I know He's done a lot for us as Barah Ministries. And as I was sitting and listening to the song, I was thinking, you know, Barah Ministries is cool. This has not at all been an easy year, but Barah Ministries is cool. And I think you'll start to hear about and see some of the cool things we're doing, because we're finally outside of ourselves in our approach to Christianity. We're not just sitting here thinking that sitting on our hands is real Christianity. I had one of the greatest times I've ever had going to the veterans' home just before I went on vacation. And I will tell you, it was difficult for me because I have a soft spot in my heart for veterans. But the biggest pleasure of that experience was sitting in front of a guy who was from Chicago. And having me, and it was the guy that Elliot had told you about, and he was having a rough day. And he told me that he was from Chicago, and that he went to Senn High School, and that he was into roller derby, and he was really good at it. And he told me that 15 times in a row in the span of an hour. And I can't tell you how much a pleasure it was to sit there and listen to him go in that circuit 15 times. It was my absolute joy and pleasure to do that. And I know for sure that that made a gigantic difference in his life. That and some ice cream with some sprinkles on it and a little chocolate sauce. Amen? That's Christianity. Christianity is not lived inside your house. Christianity is lived face to face, hand to hand, pain to pain with other Christians. And I am excited that we have finally awakened to that. And I'm looking forward to leading us into that fantastic future. So what am I looking forward to next year? A couple of more F's. Fruit and fellowship. Because as we learned this year, if you miss the person, you miss everything. We are not to protect ourselves from each other. We are to embrace each other and to love each other and to fellowship with each other and to hurt with each other and to help each other. And I'm excited about that. And I can't wait to see the fruit of this ministry. Not a fruit that is a duplication of anyone else's, but our unique fruit that we have been placed here uniquely to produce. I'm looking forward to seeing how the seeds of greatness, which were sown through this year's tribulation, will grow into a harvest of benefits for others. We close with this. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Jesus, and he will make your path straight. For the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He'll be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait for him. Closing song, faith, hope, and love. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, that you steer our course. Thank you for your guidance, and thanks for the guidance both of this ministry and of the people in it to the course of the New Testament, to the unadulterated truth of the Word of God. Thanks for giving us the courage to stand up and say enough. And thanks for all the people that stayed through that very turbulent time. And thank you for rewarding us with a vision of a future that is fun and exciting and that is edifying to people around us as we go forth and reflect your thoughts and your name to a lost and dying world. I pray for all the people who are listening to this message. I pray that you open their minds to the truth, that you clean out the garbage in their souls, that you give them a new set of eyes at which to look at the truth, and to help them realize that what is really important is your truth and not the precepts of men. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.